The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
News overnight that effectively America has joined the war against Iran, supporting Israel now in direct military action. Three significant bombing attacks on Iranian soil. With us is Sky News Middle East correspondent Alistair Bunkle. Alistair, can you bring us up to date on the nature of the strikes and the impact that they had?
Good morning. Well, the US carried out waves of strikes against three targets, three nuclear facilities in Iran. Fordow, which was struck by B-2 bombers using massive bunker-busting bombs. And then they used submarines to fire Tomahawk missiles at two other sites, Esfahan and Natanz. Now, the Americans and the Israelis variously have claimed that it was a complete success. These sites have been totally destroyed. The Iranians have said the precise opposite. The truth is that it will take a little bit of time. I mean, I imagine it's going on right now to do what's known as BDA, battle damage assessment, to really know to what effect these strikes had on those sites. And I'm sure we'll learn in due course. And I imagine that if the satellite imagery showing any kind of American success, they'll be keen to publicize that.
There has been a significant debate about whether or not the intelligence on which this action was based was accurate. Former White House Chief of Staff saying that they had been fed lies and this was the equivalent of the Iraq weapons of mass destruction. Tulsi Gabbard obviously giving testimony that she didn't believe that the Iranian government was at the point of being able to deploy a nuclear weapon. To what extent have we insight into the veracity of the intelligence that informed the decision to attack?
Well, we don't really. We have to look at the statements made by various key figures and sort of draw an assessment and conclusion from them. So I don't think it's particularly controversial or inaccurate to say that, you know, Iran was enriching uranium well above levels that would be required for a civil nuclear program, as they claimed that was all they wanted. In fact, they were sanctioned by the IAEA, the International Atomic Agency, the day before Israel carried out its first strikes on Iran. But how close were they to actually producing a nuclear weapon? And that is more disputed. Now, Tulsi Gabbard, Director of National Intelligence in the United States, not that long ago, suggested it was 2 years away. Donald Trump seems to have disagreed with that. I mean, the Israelis have said that it was imminent. And Donald Trump seems to have ultimately sided with the Israeli intelligence assessment that it was imminent, and so therefore action needed to be taken.
It does have to be said, though, that Benjamin Netanyahu himself has for more than a decade been saying that Iran is merely weeks away, and that never materializes.
That's true. I mean, you know, taking on Iran and removing Iran as a threat to Israel has almost been a sort of the lifelong work of Benjamin Netanyahu. Since Israel carried out its strikes and started its war against Iran, people might have seen, you know, doing the rounds on social media or wherever, clips of Netanyahu down the years saying that Iran was years away, months away, weeks away, and sort of wonder why, therefore, that keeps changing. The only explanation I'd have for that is the Israelis have been working to disrupt Iran's nuclear program, you know, almost constantly. Cyber attacks, I was thinking the Stuxnet attack, for example, inside intelligence attacks. Do you remember they took out the chief scientist using a robotic machine gun on the side of a road in Iran? So things like that, they might have been able to sort of dent it at times over recent years, but they've never sort of taken it on in the way that they are now.
Now, when Israel launched the first strikes against Iran, there was a big question as to the level of American support. People were parsing the semantics about whether America had been informed about the specifics of an attack or the general intent for there to be an attack, because it was seen as very significant to delineate whether America was actively involved or passively supportive. There is no question now but that they are actively involved. What does that mean?
Well, I suppose the meaning is probably based on what the Iranian response is. I think we sort of felt from what Donald Trump said in his address to the nation overnight that if he has it his way, it's a kind of one strike and done. And hopefully, you know, this is it. He's sort of, I think, you know, in Donald Trump's mind, he sort of swept in and finished the job for the Israelis, and no doubt will try and, you know, claim a victory. But if the Iranians respond, actually, let's check that when the Iranians respond, because I'm almost certain they will and will have to, then, you know, that has a real grave risk of dragging the Americans and the region in further. And I know people sort of say that in major events like this, you know, that it could sort of lead to this, that, and the other. But if you get American body bags being flown home, for example, because of an Iranian strike on a US base somewhere in the region in retaliation, then I can't really see Donald Trump sitting on his hands. He will be forced to get further involved. I mean, if the Iranians don't necessarily attack US sites, but maybe block off the Strait of Hormuz, for example, where about a fifth of the world's natural resources travels through. I mean, that would have a huge impact on the global economy. And again, America, which has got a major military presence in the region, might be forced to act to make sure it's cleared. So there is a huge potential for the US to be dragged into this. If Iran doesn't respond in a major way, and it's somewhat tokenistic, then maybe America's involvement will be limited to this.
And why is it your view that it won't be a tokenistic response? Why are you leaning towards a belief that Iran is likely to do something significant?
Well, I think a token response is still a possibility if they want to find an off-ramp quite quickly. And let's be honest, the Supreme Leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, a lot of people say is the world's longest-serving dictator. Well, he hasn't survived that long through being reckless. But his position internally in Iran right now is very precarious. Now, they've spent years and billions of dollars of their national funds to try and build this nuclear capability. The Iranians have been sanctioned, you know, heavily over these years, which then has an impact on daily life for your everyday Iranian. And now, if what the Americans and Israelis say is to be believed, that nuclear project is in total ruins. The Shia crescent that was supposed to defend Iran against this, Hezbollah, Hamas, Bashar al-Assad, Syria, for example, that's in total tatters. So the Iranian Supreme Leader is in a really weak position right now, both externally but also domestically. And if he's going to try and reclaim some of his authority internally, then he might conclude that a strong response against the United States is the best way to do that. But he will also know a strong response against the United States is also a surefire way to draw the Americans in. And I think if the Americans were really in a war against Iran, not just of a single strikes, but a proper drawn-out affair, then that would only end one way for the Iranian regime.
Now, this, of course, is happening in one of the most conflict-torn and fraught areas on the planet. What are the implications for the neighbouring states, particularly the neighbouring Arab states? How will this be viewed, and what, if any, response do you think we will see from them?
They will be very worried. I know they're very worried. This morning they've been very worried ever since Israel started its war. Now, a couple of things I'd say to that. Firstly, you know, we have seen statements after the Israeli action started, and we will see further statements today condemning it. Don't necessarily read too much into that. Iran does not have many friends around the region. Many of the Arab states believe that Iran has been a malign influence around the region and in their own countries as well. But they will be very, very worried about their own personal national interests. I mean, if you look, and we were saying about the potential for blocking the Straits of Hormuz, for example, or taking out action in the Gulf, you know, you've got a number of countries, the UAE, Oman, Bahrain, Qatar, Kuwait, who all have borders there and actually live very close to Iran, and they'll be very concerned that they are dragged into it. I mean, if the Iranians do hit a US base or two around the region, that'll be in a host country, whether that's Iraq or Syria or the port at Bahrain or the airbase in Al Udeid in Qatar. You know, they can they can be quite quickly drawn into it, and that is what they'll be most worried about.
What about the UK and EU response? We see reports being on your own station on Sky News this morning about the UK having been pre-briefed that this was going to happen. Does that bring all of the same questions that we saw with America and Israel about complicity, about level of knowledge, all of that?
Well, the UK is being very clear at the moment that it had no involvement. It might have had forewarning, but it had no involvement. And they will want to be clear that that is the case for as long as it remains the case. I wouldn't necessarily, depending on how events pan out, I wouldn't necessarily bet against the UK being involved in some sort of peripheral form at some point in the future, but it's not the case we're told at the moment. I expect there will be statements urging de-escalation from European capitals as the day wears on. But we had the meeting in Geneva between the Iranian foreign minister and the foreign ministers of France, Germany, the United Kingdom, and the EU, and it didn't get anywhere. I mean, less than 24 hours later, Donald Trump decided to order this action. So I think, as ever, when it comes to influence in the Middle East and people who can change the situation, I mean, it is the US president, first and foremost, who can do that. And, you know, if Iran doesn't retaliate in a big way and whatever they do is kind of manageable, then I can see a situation where Donald Trump says to Benjamin Netanyahu, okay, enough now. You've been bombing it for 8, 9, 10 days. I've come in. I've done what you needed me to do. We've kind of finished the job. It is now time to step back and see whether we can get diplomacy on track again.
Alistair, as ever, thank you very much. That is Alistair Bunkle, Sky News Middle East correspondent.
Thank you.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.